On the show today, we have Cornerstone's Ron Shevlin and Eric Weichart talking about a very mixed Credit Union Performance Report, so check it out. We're talking about your recent Credit Union Performance Report, and Ron, before we get started, can you kind of lay the foundation here? What is the Credit Union Performance Report in case some folks out there aren't familiar with it?
You bet. The performance report for credit unions is a biannual report that Cornerstone Advisors has been doing for, I actually don't know how long it's been going on for, probably a pretty long time, maybe 10 years or so, Eric. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I tell you, we've been doing benchmarkings for about 12 years now, and we've been refining them every year, it seems, and we started the Cornerstone report about 5 years ago.
Okay.
All right, so the performance report looks strictly at credit unions. It is produced every other year and looks at operational and performance benchmarks across 17 or 18 different areas of the credit union, including channels like branches and call center and the digital channels, looks at the product areas like cards, debit and credit cards, the lending areas like consumer lending, mortgage lending, and member business lending. It looks at some of the operational areas like deposit and lending ops, as well as accounting, IT, marketing, HR, and a couple other areas as well. So it's a very comprehensive performance benchmarking report that is based on our abilities to collect data directly from a bunch of credit unions.
It's a pretty, you hit the nail on the head there. It is extremely comprehensive, and it's gets down to the nitty gritty, as you say. And Ron, I mean, you started out the report with an interesting line from Charles Dickens' quote in The Tale of Two Cities. Can you, everybody kind of knows it's the best of times, the worst of times. Why did you start it out with that? I mean,
wait, that wasn't my original quote. Somebody had already said that before. Yes,
Dickens stole it from you, Ron.
I can't believe that. Well, okay, no, seriously. I started that because, to a certain extent, it really has been very good times for credit unions over the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Thanks to the financial crisis, consumer sentiment around banks has been at the all-time low, has helped to really highlight the value and the value proposition for credit unions, and membership has taken off for sure. Although credit unions' market share of key products, especially in the lending areas, is still relatively low, it has certainly increased and grown over the past couple of years. So it is very good times from that aspect for credit unions. On the other hand, the industry as a whole is in a period of turmoil. A lot of talk. I mean, you can't go online without seeing the word disruption a million times.
No doubt.
And there's a growing sense of, well, okay, this might be good times right now, but what about 5 years from now? What's really going to happen? Or will credit unions continue to stay relevant? And I think, like, part of the challenge here is that, by and large, most credit unions are community-based institutions. And the challenge is that those communities are generally defined by geographic communities, and thanks to changes in technology, the geographic limitations are not what defines a financial institution anymore. It's more about the community of its members and how similar or alike they are versus the geography. So I think, to a certain extent, many credit union execs feel that pain and pressure that things are changing and worry about relevance, even though the day-to-day numbers continue to improve over the past couple of years.
And hence the field of membership changes that the NCOA has proposed as well, because a lot of that is due to technology, because it's just not, like you said, a little geographic area. Now it can be, you know, five states over, or, you know, another country, that type of stuff. So things are a change. And Eric, what are three key findings you discovered in this report? Some examples that stand out.
Sure. So a couple things, guys. One that really came up, one of the things that Ron had not mentioned is the fact that, you know, at Cornerstone, we're big believers of you can't manage what you can't measure.
Okay.
And so that's the reason we came up with a lot of these benchmarks over the years. But, you know, there were a few surprises in the data this year. I would say a couple of them were good, a couple of them were not so good. You know, it's always interesting if you look at e-statement penetration, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, in the last report, I think we were around 38% or so of our checking accounts that were e-statement driven.
Okay.
This report was 48%. I'd like to see it at 75 to 80%. So I would say that that's one of the surprises that I would say, you know, we're still not doing a good job of designing our products, are forcing enrollment in e-statements. So I would say that's one. I just think, you know, with all this talk about bill pay, probably one of the other surprises that came out of this was, you know, we're still at, you know, 10%, 11% of our checking accounts that have bill pay. So there's all this talk about bill pay, yet at the end of the day, you know, if you look at the numbers, they're still very minute.
I find that extremely surprising because, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I love my bill pay. it's a true godsend in this house because it's quick, it's efficient, and it gets the job done. I was totally floored when I saw that stat. So, yeah, that one really surprised me.
Good. And then I would just say, you know, one that wasn't a surprise that, and it's a trend, you know, we look out for key trends over the years. And I think that's one of the reasons that credit unions need to focus on data so they can figure out, are we doing better? Are we getting worse mm-hmm. at some of our processes? Mm-hmm. Would say this whole idea of teller transactions per teller FTE and figuring out from a transactional standpoint in our branches, how do we get more productive? How do we improve processes, et cetera? But again, we continue to see a decline in transactions handled per teller FTE in our branches.
Ron, you wanted to say something there?
Yeah, before we lose the bill pay context, I think this is a real problem area and cause for concern among credit unions. Because what's happening at the broader sense is that it's younger consumers who are turning towards billers themselves versus financial institutions to do their online and mobile bill pay. Mm-hmm. And what happens, and the implication of that, is that those are missed opportunities for engagement from the credit union's perspective. To help their members better manage their bills, understand the trends in their bills, understand whether or not maybe there's better alternatives to the firms that they're doing business with. Mm-hmm. The fact that the members are increasingly not turning to the credit unions for online and mobile bill pay, I think is a big cause for concern, especially when you take into consideration that it is predominantly younger consumers who are not paying bills with financial institutions, whether it's credit union or banks for that matter.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. And speaking of surprises, what were some of the other, the bill pay was a big surprise. Another thing that I saw was branch sales productivity. I thought that was a big surprise. I mean, any reason there?
Yeah, I would say that just around branch sales productivity, I think it's not that our branches are selling more. It's we've become a lot more efficient at getting our numbers down in our branches. And so there's been a lot more management of staff than, say, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we're seeing that trend as well.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I'm thinking, isn't the branch dead? Aren't we talking about that day after day? But and yet this says quite the opposite. Another one that surprised me was 1/3 of credit unions only offer insurance products. I thought that was a pretty low number.
Yeah, so I think that depending on what type of insurance we're talking about here, obviously, you know, ancillary insurance for credit, life, and disability, I would say that penetration is probably 90% plus of credit unions out there.
Okay.
But really, when we're talking about, you know, almost the idea of it's an investment type insurance product, annuities, or maybe life insurance, mm-hmm. healthcare, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. It's still pretty low.
Okay. Any other surprises? Ron, did you, anything in there kind of raise your eyebrows as well?
Yeah, I'll throw another one out there. Okay. In light of the fact that in other research that I've done, collaborating with Financial Brand over the past couple of years, I've found that the large banks have significantly shifted their marketing spend away from traditional media and traditional channels to online and to a large extent mobile. Was very surprised to not see a big shift in marketing spend among credit unions. Still very, very highly skewed towards traditional media and channels mm-hmm. versus the digital channels. And that was a surprise and again, a cause for concern from my perspective.
Do you think that's just speculating here, that the average credit union member age is still like 48, 47, like that? I mean, and those folks are still, you know, traditional market markets, and they still read a magazine?
I wouldn't attribute that at all to Mike, because I think that for the most part, most credit unions are very actively and consciously trying to attract younger consumers.
Oh, yeah.
But to that end, I think what's the hurdle here is that they have very small marketing staffs, don't have the sophistication to do analysis and market media planning and analysis to really understand the mix. So then tend to default to traditional channels, which by and large are still superior for the part of the marketing life cycle at the beginning for awareness. I mean, if you want to gain awareness in your market, then you can run some ads.
Yeah.
But for especially here in the Boston area, there are some large credit unions that continue to run TV ads. And at some point, you got to really wonder if that's really effective at driving consideration and driving those people to the websites, or even into the branches. So this is another cause for concern, is to see so much of the marketing dollars continuing to go to traditional channels when we know the objective is to attract a younger consumer.
Indeed. All right. Speaking of objectives, at the tail end of your report, you guys always have kind of performance improvement opportunities where credit unions can, what they can address in the coming years. And since it's a new year, let's talk about what are some of the improvements that they can address this year and in the coming years. Eric?
Sure. Yeah. Let's start in the branch, guys. It's amazing to me, you know, if you look at just the new member and account process and how long it takes to open a new account and what the member experience is. It's very frustrating for members, et cetera. But it's, you know, at that 30-minute, 45-minute plus time. And the problem is, guys, it's not that we're spending 20 minutes of that 30 minutes building relationships. It's that we're spending 25 minutes in the computer and we have 5 minutes left to sell, right?
Yeah.
And so figuring that out, I think, is probably one of the big things in 2016 we'll be pushing at Cornerstone. You know, there are a lot of other things, you know, as you look at some of the trends that are happening in mortgage lending, of course, given the regulatory environment, I would say really figuring out how do we become more efficient in this regulatory rich environment where we've got all these rules and regulations that we need to comply with, yet we need to be more efficient in our processes. So I would say branches, mortgage, and getting back to that whole e-statement and looking at expenses, trying to drive that penetration up will definitely help with some of those expenses as well.
Cool. Ron, anything to add there?
Yeah, I'm going to throw one out there and ask Eric to kind of back me up on this with some more details. But the whole area around payments growth and driving payment volume.
Oh my gosh.
One of the major trends that's going on here from a demographic perspective is that as Gen Yers begin to age, and you know, remember, the oldest Gen Yers are at more than mid-30s already. In a couple of years, they're going to be 40 years old. And they're already shifting their payment behaviors from debit cards to credit cards. So, you know, having a good credit card program, having a better debit card payment program in place, and really understanding, and I think we want to make a point here that's really at the core of this, which is the idea that the checking account is the core platform for a relationship is a really outdated. It's really about payments. It's really about facilitating payments, adding value to the payments, adding value to the movement of money, whether it's a retail payment, a bill payment, or even a person-to-person payment.
Yeah.
What consumers want are easy and valuable ways of making those payments and understanding where the money's going, how is it going, how am I doing? So the whole idea of really understanding the payment strategy is a key imperative for 2016, and understanding that the checking account, and I don't care whether checks go away or not, that's not the point. The point is that the idea of the checking account is an outdated concept for a lot of Gen Yers. They don't care about a checking account. They care about having an easy mechanism to manage their finances.
Love it.
Yeah,
I
think Ron makes a great point around just understanding the payments engine and the drivers of interchange and, you know, Visa, MasterCard, et cetera. I think those are just key areas that when we go into credit unions and see that they may kind of, I would say, be lost in the shuffle in operations. And, you know, while we're ordering new cards and, you know, doing things like that from a service standpoint, we're not managing the interchange in the business.
Goodness, good. I mean, well, the payments is like an ever evolving thing. It's just so dynamic right now. It just seems like there's new payments news every 10 minutes. So it's something definitely to stay on top of. Definitely to be, like you said at the top of the show, Ron, to be relevant. You know, you got to do this stuff to be relevant. And that's the number one concern for credit unions right now. All right, guys, to wrap up, where can folks get the latest performance work? Where can they get this to get the all the details we're talking about here?
Couple easy places to get it. First is our website, www.crnrstone.com, and there'll be links there. Another easy way to do it is simply tweet me at rshevlin, R-S-H-E-V-L-I-N, and I'll be glad to make sure you get that report.
All righty. Sounds good, guys. Eric, anything to add to wrap it up here?
No. Yeah. Again, thanks for the time. Sure. And just, again, believe that data is really important to manage the business, and we're trying to help as much as possible with this report.
Indeed. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Thanks for being on the show today. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks.